everybody. It's me, Danny Rampton, and you are listening to Chewing the Fat, all things agriculture for the general public.
I'm Christy Aachen.
And if you can't tell from the freshly mowed grass and the insane number of tulips popping up in people's yards, it's spring.
Oh my gosh, there are so many tulips here.
Dude,
in Cache.
Right? And have you seen the pansies on campus? Like, they are just stunning.
Yeah.
Even after this hard winter.
I'm from southwestern Kansas, and I mean, you might as well be in southern Texas because it's a desert down there.
That's what I've heard.
So I love the green grass and the tulips. But also, a lot of people know spring as the time when flowers begin to bloom, more animals are scurrying around, and if you live in Cache Valley, you probably know it's spring because you can now see the grass after 7 long, godforsaken months of nothing but snow.
Dude, amen. Holy smokes. But I think another big spoiler is the farmer out in the fields planting crops and all the new cow-calf pairs sprinkling the valleys.
Which leads us to our topic for our show today, which is revolving around springtime for the farmers who grow crops and take care of those cute little beef calves being born. And you guys all know I come from a dairy farm. But lucky for you and lucky for me, our own host, Danny Rampton, has grown up in the valley in Tremonton, and she's been driving tractors and running irrigator her whole life. So as long as it's fine with her, we're going to interview her for this segment.
Well, I mean, you already got me here, so we might as well do it, right?
Yeah.
But,
you got anything you want to say before I start pounding you with questions?
Oh, my heavens. Just read me my rights, please.
All right. So first things first. What are the crops grown in this region of Utah? And, like, what do you guys grow on your farm? And is there any unusual or unique crops grown in the valley that you know about?
Well, I guess I'll start off with Cache Valley's production. So there's a lot of cereal grains grown. So corn, wheat, barley, oats, and rye, just to name a few. And also forage crops. So pasture grasses and silage that comes from corn and alfalfa hay, which is, I mean, pretty common for operations. And then there's a few orchards here and there. There's some specialty crops as well. So, like, fruits, you know, pick your own stuff. And then large-scale gardens. On our farm, we grow corn, wheat, hay, safflower, barley, beef cattle. Like, we've kind of got it all.
Oh, what is safflower?
Safflower is an oil crop. A lot of times they use that oil to fry potatoes, or you can use it as like a cosmetic if you're into that. It's in the sunflower family, but it's more pokey like cotton. Like, it gets about 2 feet tall, and it's green at first, and then it dries out, and just the seed is what produces the oil. And it makes it an oil crop because the seed has more than 20% oil.
Okay, so I did a little bit of research about stuff grown in Utah, and I know what kind of vegetables are grown besides, like, we have our crops for our livestock, but vegetables that people would eat?
Well, people can grow, I guess, some of the typical garden stuff is like squash and zucchini.
Is there a larger scale? Like, do you just see fields of onions anywhere?
Oh, actually, yeah. In my valley, there's a lot more onions. They need a sandy soil.
Mm.
They need good draining soil. That's a big deal in Tremont. And then closer to Brigham City, they have the onion trucks. You can smell them. They're sweeter than sweet, and they can get huge. We farm with a family, I guess, down the road, and they, instead of painting pumpkins for Halloween, they get big onions, and they paint the onions and set them on their front porch. It is the funniest.
That is pretty awesome. Like, I love carving pumpkins, but I could definitely try out an onion.
Yeah, no kidding. And so, there are actually a lot of onions around here. A lot of the Utah's own is from up here in northern Utah.
What kind of has been, or what has gotten done so far for the planting season for most farmers around here, and what still needs to be done?
As I mentioned before, I'm from Tremont, and there's been a lot of flooding just in Box Elder County in general. And so there's actually a lot of areas that are still underwater. As much as we can, we've just been going through the fields that we can actually get in without being stuck, and just touching up all of the spots where our crops have died because of the water standing on them that happened in February with all that flooding.
And what crops would those be that have already died?
Well, we planted a lot of winter wheat, mm-hmm. which they call it winter wheat because you plant it in the fall, and then it goes through a dormancy period while it's under the snow, and then it starts growing real thick in the spring. But a lot of it's died, and so we're planting it with spring wheat, and it's different because it doesn't have that dormancy period.
With this bad start to the planting season, like, mm-hmm. I guess we've had so much water this year.
Yeah.
And then also it's been a really slow start to the spring.
It has.
Because even just last weekend we were talking, there was a frost. Mm-hmm. It got below 30 degrees.
That is not good at all.
I guess what kind of summer do we need to have to hopefully get us back on track?
Well, a long, hot summer, if it could start like tomorrow, or maybe even right now, just to stop raining and to really heat up. People are running into a lot of problems because it's still so cold at night that a lot of the crops aren't growing, a lot of the forage crops, so like the pasture grasses. Everybody that ranches, they still have all their cattle on winter range because it's too wet to bring them in, and they've been feeding hay, which is really late for them to do because none of the pasture grass is growing. And with nothing growing, like, everyone is selling all of their hay, which is really good, but then everyone is just running out of feed, you know. And the ground is too wet, so you can't get into the field. The winter wheat can't be fertilized because it's about the time to really give it a little extra kick to get it started this harvest season. And manure can't be spread if you have feedlots. No groundwork can be done. Once it really starts heating up, we'll be really behind and just, I guess, busting butt to get things done, you know? And there's a lot of serious erosion in fields, leaving behind, like, washes. And it's just kind of stripping the soil of all its moisture.
What does a wash look like?
When water, it's all flowing to a concentrated spot, it kind of erodes like a deeper, groove into the ground than like it would on, say, concrete. And it literally washes that all away. And that's how you know where the water goes in your field, is because that's why they call it a wash.
Okay, and you said you're talking about spreading manure, and that's just the fact that it's so wet that you don't want to put it in the fields and because you'll lose nutrients?
The fields are so muddy that you can't pull in there without just making a mess, you know, making a lot of dirt clods, and that's not really good to plant anything in after you spent so much time in the fall just working the ground and getting it ready to sit over winter. Also, just with all the runoff, because you really have to manage that, otherwise it will, like, kill other vegetation and fish if you're next to a river or canal. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be really careful.
What do you think is going to be the latest that farmers are going to be done planting, considering our slow start or delay that we've had?
Well,
and maybe just like, what do you think for your farm?
Yeah.
Or how, when do you guys think that you'll be done?
I guess it really depends on each farm when during the day you want to start and how late you want to go. A lot of times we're usually done by about the beginning of June. It only takes us about a couple weeks to get all of everything that we want to get done. And I think this year we're going to have around 400 acres of corn. Yeah, it should really only take us a couple weeks, but where everything is still so wet and we have to get all the ground prepped and everything else, it might be a little bit later, which affects everything else during the summer, because you'll start watering the corn later, you'll fertilize the corn later, and then you'll have to stop watering the corn later, you know, and mm-hmm. harvest it later. I know last fall, we had Thanksgiving dinner in the fields, basically, because it was going to rain and we had to get all our corn up and we weren't done. So Thanksgiving, you know, November 25th, at almost the beginning of January, we're in the fields cutting corn, just trying to finish. We had to have our neighbors come and help us. And so I guess we had two combines going on two different patches of ground. And it was a real learning experience just to see how one day in the spring can affect the rest of the whole entire year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's so true. Mm. But I really like that story because it definitely sheds light on what farmers are like. Like, if you need help, you just kind of call the mm-hmm. farmer next door and he's over with his tractor or over with his his stuff and he's ready to roll.
Brings your family closer together for sure.
Okay. Is there anything else? I don't know that you want to add about it.
around here where we're on the Bear River Canal system, typically irrigation starts the first Monday in May, which is in a week. Less than a week. It'll start next Monday, a finals week. And where we've been getting so much rain, the grain, because that's what you start watering is grain. It hasn't grown tall enough to where it really needs to be irrigated yet. I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But we do, for sure, have plenty of water, so that's good, at least.
Yeah, that is definitely good.
This rain has actually pulled us out of our drought, so that's nice. It's good to hear.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Danny, for technically being our guest on the show and also our host. Definitely a first time for everything.
Yeah, no kidding. You're next.
Yeah, let's talk some dairy cows.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, well, I guess what we want to say is this technically will be our final podcast for this semester, and we will be starting up again next school year in the fall.
Yeah.
I don't know, Danny, do you want to just talk about what your plans are for over the summer?
Well, first, I just want to say how much I appreciate everyone who's been following along with us through our journey. There's definitely been a learning curve. Hats off to everyone who's rode through that with us. And this is just the greatest. I never thought, you know, that I would ever have a podcast of my own with someone as great as Christy.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, this summer I'm just going to be out helping on the family farm. I'm usually in charge of training all the new employees, just training them where their fields are and how to irrigate. So I'll be doing that again and just helping out where I can.
Awesome.
But, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, and I am definitely thankful for this experience and that me and Danny got to start our own podcast. And we definitely love to do it. But yeah, it's definitely, we learned a lot. Go back and listen to our first podcast.
Yeah, or don't.
Yeah, probably don't.
Yeah.
But if you do, then listen to this one. And hopefully the people that have been following us and have been continually listening to us can definitely tell that I think we've both gotten better.
Yeah, we've definitely improved.
But as far as my summer goes, I'll be here in Logan. I have an internship with Utah Public Radio, and I'll just be helping them out, hopefully expanding my skills in podcasting, and hopefully I'll still get to go out to the farm a couple times, maybe back to Kansas.
No kidding.
We just hope you guys have enjoyed all our podcasts throughout the year, and we cannot wait to start up again next fall.
Thank you guys so much.
And I definitely, if you guys ever see me and Danny, like, Danny has been stopped so many times, and you guys want to know something more about agriculture, just let us know. We also have a Twitter now. It's called chewing_fat, and go ahead and tweet at us, and we will try to talk about and teach about what you guys want to learn.
Seriously, follow us, please.
All right, thank you guys so much. Thanks. Have a great summer. Bye-bye.
Bye.